Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
One night, we're sitting in a circle and we're praying. And one of the guys, he all of a sudden prays this prayer for me. He says, Lord, I pray that you get Brian fired from his job, and I pray that you get him into full-time ministry. And you know what? I did not appreciate that prayer. When he said that, I thought, what is he talking about? I don't want to get fired from my job. I got a good job.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, in a message titled, The Perfect Will of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Circumstances can many times be the thing that God uses to give us the confirmation that we are in His will. And listen, the circumstances can be favorable, but not necessarily. Sometimes unfavorable circumstances will be the very thing that ends up planting us in the center of God's will. See, we tend to think that if we're in God's will, everything's got to be favorable. Everything's got to be, you know, perfect. All of the ducks have to be in a row. We have to feel this great peace about it. You know, not necessarily. It's possible to be right in the center of God's will and to be in a storm at the same time. It's possible to be right in the center of God's will and to be in circumstances that are less than favorable. I've just been reading again the life of David. And here's David. He's a man who's in the center of God's will, but he's in the center of a storm for years as well. But God's placed him there. So, confirmation. Scriptural confirmation, unbiased godly counsel, circumstances. These are all of the things that God will use to point us in the direction of His will. Years and years ago, I was desperately needing a word from the Lord. It's one of those seasons in my life where I just was so desperate to hear the Lord speak to me. And Cheryl and I had gone with Chuck and Kay to Hawaii. And we were there, and I was going through a very difficult time physically. And, you know, I was seeking clarity on God's will. And I remember going to the service on that particular Sunday that we were there, and Pastor Chuck was teaching. And I was just so longing for a word. I desperately needed God speak to me. I need to get clarity. I need to, you know, about His will. And I remember when we got to the church and Pastor Chuck got up to speak and he announced the title of his message. And, you know, it was a message that I'd heard him give before, and it was a good message. But I immediately thought to myself, oh, that's not the message I need. Ah, darn. You know? And I just sat there kind of disappointed, and, you know, he began to teach. But, you know, about halfway through that message, it was one of those times when I felt like I was the only one in the room, and God was speaking so clearly to me. And he was laying out the future plan in a very personal way. But then in a sense, generally, he was laying out the future plan for my life. And essentially it was this: you're going to walk by faith. You're going to live by faith. You're going to do things that you never dreamed you would do. And you're going to do them under circumstances that you don't necessarily want to do them under, things like that. But I knew that I knew when I left that service that day that God had spoken to me and that I had clarity on His will. And so, there's that confirmation. So, once again, inclination and enabling, opportunity, confirmation, scriptural, unbiased godly counsel, and circumstances, favorable or sometimes even unfavorable. Now, as I said a moment ago, and let me go back to this again for just a moment. There comes a point in which, in order to get into the center of God's personal will, what we're talking about here as the perfect will of God, there's always the necessity of faith. You see, because here's the reality. God does not give us ever 100% of the picture. He doesn't give us 100% assurance. It's just not the way God operates. He gives us enough to activate our faith and to have us move on the basis of faith. Now, when we are put in a position to have to make a decision based on, you know, something less than a crystal clear message of this is exactly it, it's important in taking steps of faith that we know the character of God, that we understand who God is. That will help us tremendously. That we understand that God is our Father, that He loves us, that He has our best interest in mind, that if we're sincere and seeking to do the will of God, even if we venture out in the wrong direction, that God is faithful and He loves us enough to get us on the right course. Now, in talking about this whole topic of the perfect will of God and the personal will of God, what I wanted to do is I want to share with you guys kind of my own story in the context of ministry. And that, of course, for me is, that's the context I have because that's what God has called me to. And I think that regardless of what the calling is, because obviously not everybody's called to the same type of thing, but I think as I tell you this story, I think that you will be able to take from it and apply the same principles to your own situation, whatever the particular category is of God's personal will for you, whether it has to do with, the things that we talked about, education, vocation, marriage, financial stewardship, ministry, whatever the case. But let me just take a couple of minutes and kind of just walk you through my own personal journey so you can kind of see what I'm talking about. Because for me, what I have sought to do, and I'm not boasting in the least. I'm just, it's telling you simply the facts. What I have sought to do is be in the center of God's will. That's what I sought to do. At some point in my young Christian life, somehow that clicked in my head that that's the thing to do. You got to be in the center of God's will. And so from the earliest days of my walk with the Lord, that was there in the back of my mind sort of, you know, as kind of a guiding principle. And as I look back now over, 30 plus years, I have these landmarks where, God moved me along in my journey of faith from one thing to another. And it was a revealing, to some extent, of His will, and then the necessity of me looking for the kinds of things that we're talking about, the opportunities, the confirmation, and then taking steps of faith. So again, the context is ministry, but hopefully it'll transfer over to other things as well.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
So, when I first became a Christian, it wasn't long after I had become a Christian that I had a sense of wanting to serve the Lord. But I did not have a context for that necessarily. What I mean by that is I didn't have any particular thing that to me was, well, that's what you do to serve the Lord. The thought of pastoring, that kind of thing, that really honestly did not cross my mind. I came out of paganism with a mild dose of Catholicism on top of it. And the only, you know, real encounter I had with, you know, a biblical view of the faith or the church or anything was what I got here. The only pastor I had ever known, and at that time didn't know him personally, was Pastor Chuck. So I never for a moment thought in terms of, I want to be a pastor like Pastor Chuck. I just simply had this desire, I want to do something for God. I want to do something for the Lord. I didn't know what it was or how that would even work itself out. At that particular time, I was working for a construction company, and I had been working for them for quite some time. And as I was there and, you know, growing in my faith there at that company and on the job, I was there just growing as a Christian, living my Christian life, witnessing to the people around me as often as I, you know, had the opportunity to do it, and, you know, plugged into the fellowship here, and just, you know, just trying to be a good Christian, but had this, you just had this sense, man, I want to do something for the Lord, and didn't matter what it was. That I had no specific sense at that point. So I had this job in this particular field of construction, and it was a good job, and it was a well-paying job, and I thought it was a good trade that I could, you know, I could go anywhere that I wanted to go with it. And so in one sense, I was contented to be there, or I was contented at least to stay in that profession and just, okay, you know, this is what I'll do to make tents, so to speak. This is what I'll do to provide for myself. And then I'll look for ways to serve the Lord. I used to be involved in a prayer meeting at that time with just a handful of people. And we would pray in my apartment a lot. We just gather together, a group of us, and we'd pray. And these were pretty crazy times spiritually. They were exciting times. People were getting saved right and left. A couple of friends of mine and I, we got saved at the same time, and we started sharing with the rest of our friends. And pretty soon we had a large group of people that were gathering in our apartment. We were having prayer meetings and Bible studies. And, you know, we didn't know anything, but we were just excited about the Lord. So one night we're sitting in a circle and we're praying, and one of the guys, he all of a sudden prays this prayer for me. He says, Lord, I pray that you get Brian fired from his job, and I pray that you get him in a full-time ministry. And you know what? I did not appreciate that prayer. When he said that, I thought, what is he talking about? I don't want to get fired from my job. I got a good job. And I kind of dismissed it. I thought, that's so ridiculous. That's not going to happen. I've got a good job, and I'm secure in the company. The owner of the company is my friend. This guy's, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So I just left it at that. Before the week was over, I was out of a job. I went into work 2 days later, and my boss called me and said, I got to talk to you about something. I said, what's up? He said, you know, I got some bad news. I got to let you go. I said, what? You got to let me go? What do you mean? I'm your friend. Let me go. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And, you know, he just said, look, I know, but things aren't as good as they seem on the outside and we're really hurting financially. I gotta let you go, but he said, I've arranged for you to meet with the owner of this other company and I think they'll hire you over there. And I thought, okay, well, that actually was a better company with better pay. So I thought, well, this isn't as bad as it sounds, so you know, maybe I'll do that. So what happened is that prayer that guy said came back to my mind. And I thought, wow, that's exactly what he prayed. So I took the opportunity to say that to my boss. He wasn't a Christian. I said, oh, I'm going to tell you something that happened to me this week. It's really weird. So this guy prayed for me that I would get fired. And I think that you're letting me go. I think God's, you know, doing something here. And he thought, Brian, you've gone crazy. But, you know, when I started working for him, I wasn't a Christian. So he saw me go through this total metamorphosis. So anyway... So this was in the back of my head, but I thought, you know, I got to have a job and I've got an opportunity to go to this other place. And it was a better company, more stable company, better pay. So I made an appointment to meet with the owner and I drove over and I met with him. And as I was sitting there talking to him and he was explaining the job to me and, you know, just going through the whole thing, my mind was completely somewhere else. And I was thinking about, again, that prayer, and I was thinking about what I really wanted to do, and I was thinking, you know, I do want to serve the Lord, and I don't know if I necessarily want to take this job. So finally, the guy literally looks at me, he says, are you paying attention? You don't seem to be that interested. And I said, you know what, I am so sorry. Would you, you know, forgive me, I shouldn't have made this appointment. I'm not the guy for the job. Sorry I wasted your time. And I got up and I left. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't have a job, so I didn't know what to do at that point. So I went down to the beach, and I was just down there hanging around. And I ended up going into a surf shop down there that I had previously worked in just out of high school. And that was a few years earlier. And I went into the shop, and as I was standing there just talking with the owner, he said, hey, why don't you come back and work for me? And I thought, no way, that's going backwards. I don't want to, I've been there, done that. I don't want to go back to working in a surf shop. And he kind of said, oh no, it'll be great, you know. And I said, oh well, you know, I've become a Christian and I don't know, let me pray about it. He thought that was kind of weird, but so I did. You know, I prayed about it. And strangely enough, I felt like the Lord was saying, look, you need a job. This guy's offered you a job. Here's an opportunity. I just felt this sense like, you know, I ought to take it, even though I didn't really want to. So I did. I took the job. And what I didn't know that the Lord had in store, you know, I had that desire for ministry. I was there for about a year. And during that year, almost on a daily basis, I had the opportunity to share the gospel with people that I had known for years as a non-Christian growing up in that place. And it was just, it got to be such a consistent thing that pretty much I could just count on it every day. When I go into work today, I'm going to share the Lord with somebody. And it was amazing. And it was a great year of just doing evangelism to a large degree among my old friends and then also to just, you know, strangers that would come into the shop. But as I got sort of close to the end of that year, I began to get kind of restless. And I thought, you know, this is great, but I don't know. I just had a sense that I wanted to do more for the Lord. I'm still, you know, I'm stuck in this shop most of the time and it's great to be witnessing, but, you know, I just had this sense like I wanted to do something else, but I didn't know what it was. And Cheryl and I had gotten married by that time. And one day Cheryl calls me at the surf shop and she says, my dad called and he wants you to give him a call at the church. So I called Pastor Chuck and he said, I wanted you to pray about, you know, coming and joining the staff here, working with me on the staff as an intern pastor. And I said, well, what would I do? I don't know how to do any of that stuff. And he said, well, you know, you've told me that you have a desire to serve the Lord and, you know, this is a place to get trained and see if there's really a calling on your life. So I said, well, okay, let me pray about it. And I did. Prayed about it for a week. And at the end of the week, as I was going through the scriptures, a particular passage really stood out to me. And I had that scriptural confirmation. I really felt like this was the Lord speaking to me. And so I said to Pastor Chuck, I said, yeah, I'd like to do that. I'll come on as an intern. And so I did that. And I came on here as an intern pastor in 1980. And I interned here for a period of 3 years. And during that time, I just did whatever I was told to do, basically. You know, I was told to oversee the correspondence ministry. I was told to help out a little bit with the home fellowship ministry. I was given an opportunity at a certain point to minister to the youth. And, you know, just one thing after another over that three-year period, you know, things just, you know, kept coming my way. And I was getting more and more experience. And at the toward the end of that three-year period, again, there were all kinds of other circumstances going on, but I began to develop a restlessness inside. And I began to sense that there was some change that needed to take place. I didn't really even know what it was. And about that same time, an opportunity came for me to go down and fill in for a pastor who was pastoring a small church down in Vista, just in North San Diego, California. And the interesting thing was, I had a few years earlier, 2 years earlier, I had gone down on one occasion and filled in for that pastor. He was out of town for a weekend. I filled in for him on one occasion, and that was it. I never had any conversation with him after that. And a couple years later, now he contacts Pastor Chuck again, says, hey, you know that young guy that you sent down, is he available? Could he come down and fill in for me? I'm going on vacation. Chuck told me, hey, you know, would you like to go down and do that? And quite honestly, at that point, because of other circumstances, I wasn't all that thrilled about it, but I just thought, okay, I guess I'll do it. So I went down, and for 3 weeks, I filled in for this pastor who was on vacation, had a wonderful time, met the congregation, and you know, it was nice. It was an older congregation. I was young. I was 25, I think, at the time. And so, you know, it was a good, sweet 3 weeks, a nice experience, good place to visit. Never want to live there or anything, but it was enjoyable. And I think it was, you know, it was a good experience. So I get home. Sunday evening, we drive back. After going down for three consecutive weeks, Monday morning, my phone rings. 7 o'clock in the morning. It's the pastor. How you doing? Oh, doing great. You're back from vacation. Yeah, yeah. Was it good? Yeah, yeah. I had a great time. Okay, so what's on your mind? Well, you know, I resigned from the church today, and I think you ought to come down and be the pastor. That's exactly what he said to me. And I said, I don't think so. That wasn't even in my thinking process. That idea never crossed my mind. And, you know, so I just thought, that is ridiculous. That is crazy. No, I'm not going to do that. So I went to Pastor Chuck and I told him. And he thought it was even more absurd than I did. We had two of his grandchildren. He wasn't wanting to see them move away at all.
For the month of April, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope, written by Christopher and Angela Ewan. This is a riveting and powerful story and highly recommended. Especially if you have friends, family members, or if you're in contact with people who are struggling with or have questions about the homosexual lifestyle. The book, Out of a Far Country, is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order the book, Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope, written by Christopher and Angela Yuan. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, Out of a Far Country, as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.